Bikers Info USA, the first bikers app by bikers, for bikers, and it's free. National and state events, Sturgis and Daytona, Bikers Info USA. Every motorcycle manufacturer dealer listed. Biker products for you and your bike. Bikers Info USA. Find the places to go, places to party, places to stay at every event. Bikers Info USA. Download it now. It's free. Bikers Info USA.
Welcome to another edition of the Motorcycle Mayhem Radio Podcast, hosted by Johnny Rizzo, where we talk about everything motorcycle, from tips on safe riding, to apparel and accessories, to where the next events are, and everything in between. So, let's mount up and ride. Hey, Johnny, where are we going this time?
All right, what's up, everybody? I'm Johnny Rizzo, and you're watching or listening to Motorcycle Mayhem Radio, and I got a very special guest coming on the show with me tonight. This guy looks like he's done so much, and I can't wait to talk to him. He rides, he's into jiu-jitsu, all that stuff. And I want to introduce Mr. Brady McLean to the show right now. This guy he looks like he's awesome. Let's see what he has to say. What's up, Brady?
What's happening, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I'm honored to be on the show. I'm good. Life is good.
Life is good, huh? So tell us about you. Let's find out who Brady McLean is, first of all. I saw a list of things that you do, and it's like, this guy's incredible. So go ahead.
Yeah. I'm an explorer. I don't know how to answer. You know, who I am is you could ask me that on any given day, and I might have a different answer for you, you know, Monday morning to Monday night. But I'm an explorer. I'm a liver of life. I'm just out here trying to figure out what's going on in the world. And I made my way to your podcast because the way that I choose and have chosen to go explore the world has mostly been from the back of a motorcycle. And that's what I share with people. You know, that's the thing we've got in common. It's common ground for me and so many people across the world, really. And yeah, man, that's me.
Now, let me tell you, so you ride a motorcycle. What do you ride?
That's same thing. That changes constantly. I think I got 9 or 10 bikes right now, and I'm down. I've been trying to cut back. But I'll ride anything from a dirt bike, 2-stroke in the mountains, 4-stroke out in the, you know, on a track or you know, out in the great outdoors of the world. My main bike is a FXDP. It's Dirty D. She's a Dyna Defender, 2003.
Right. Now, how did you get into riding? How old were you when you started riding?
Man, so I started, you know, as a kid, my grandpa would take me out on his Sportster. And nice. We had I wasn't allowed to go anywhere near the Sportster when it was in the garage. And I didn't know anything about, you know, Harley Davidsons or what a Sportster was. And the Sportster, the bike he had, it was a 1200, but, you know, it's the smallest bike Harley makes. But for me, you know, that was just the Harley, you know, and I wasn't allowed to touch it. And it was big. And
don't touch the Harley.
And it was hot, you know, and so I had to be careful. But my grandpa used to take me out on that. I didn't get a bike of my own until I think I was close to 18. And my girlfriend at the time, her family was all bikers. And it was kind of like you had to ride, you know, to ride if you're going to be in that family. So I learned how to ride. I got my first bike. My first bike was a Harley Sportster. Yeah, man. And it was
well, once you get on that bike and you pretty much know your destiny from there. You know what I mean? Because you know, you start out with a Sportster. That's a great bike, by the way, to start out with. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that bike. I wish, you know, it's one of those cases where I sold that bike because it was ready for, I had to sell it to buy Dirty D, who's right. That's my Dyna. And I wish I wouldn't have, obviously, you know, finances. I couldn't afford to have two bikes. So I sold the one and bought the other.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I love that bike. If I ever find it again, I'll buy it for sure. I rattle canned the whole thing. I like sanded the paint off, which is I'm like notorious for doing this, and just spray painted the whole thing, and then took a Sharpie and drew on it, and had all these drawings and sayings on it. It was a funny bike. It was a ratty old Sportster. Ran good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, looking at some of these pictures that I have of you here, like this one here, you know, what do you prefer riding? You ride street bikes? You like, you'd rather do the dirt bikes? What is your thing you like doing best?
Motorcycles for me, man. So those photos, that's a good example, because that's a hybrid bike. That bike that you saw in the first picture, if you look closely at that photo, that thing doesn't have a seat on it. It's got tape all over it. So that's a Harley Sportster. It's an 02 883R. We put a 1200 kit in it, and we dressed it up for the desert. So I just finished a 100-mile desert race on that bike.
Wow.
Where we lost the seat. The carburetor fell off. We melted a battery. I mean, that thing had just gone through hell. And as far as what I like to ride, you know, it's a lot like asking, you know, what kind of music are you into? And the answer for me is, it changes all the time, you know, and yeah, I love to switch it up. I've ridden most of my miles have been on the back of a Harley Dyna.
Nice.
And that's, you know, that's kind of just like, that's where I go to for meditation. You know, that's where I go to think about the world and contemplate life and love and the pursuit and all that. Dirt bikes are more just in the moment. You're just out there just raging, you know. Choppers, I'm into choppers, like, but I, you know, I my spine's still in pretty good shape. I try to keep it that way. So I like those Legend shocks, you know. But yeah, man, I ride it all, and I love it all. I don't know that I have an overall preference, other than to say, Dirty D, that FXDP for sure has the most miles on it.
But you know what they say, though? They say, like, you know, when you ride, you know, if to clear your mind, you get out on the road. There's nothing, no other freer feeling you can have than being on a motorcycle on an open road. It's the closest to flying you'll ever get, as far as if a human being can fly. And there's no other feeling, you know, in the world that can ever replace being on a bike. Especially where you're from, you're out west. So your roads out there compared to here in New York are a lot different. You know what I mean? So
yeah, man. I live in Wyoming, and I used to go. I still do, but I used to ride everywhere. We rode down to Bike Week in Mazatlan, Mexico. I would ride down to Austin, Texas, to Hand Built Show. I'd ride down to Born Free Show. I mean, I would ride everywhere, and some of the best riding that I experienced was right out of my own home, you know, right out of my backyard in Wyoming. Wyoming is we're the fourth largest landmass state, and we are the lowest population state by a lot. Wow. So, you know, you'll go out and ride, and you'll go, you know, you might go an hour without seeing anybody. I didn't realize how special that was until I got out into the world and realized, like, nobody else quite has this. So now we have a ride that we put together at the end of the summer called Devilstone Run, where we kind of invite everyone. We go out and meet in the world, and we say, hey, come back to our neck of the woods, and we'll kind of show you what Wyoming is like.
Wow. That's incredible, because you know what? You know, to be that lucky to be out there to have those roads, because you must have some amazing roads out there. You said you've never been to New York before? Well,
I've never, dude. It's been on the bucket. My buddy Turbo is out there. Do you know Turbo Chainsaw by chance, Ian?
I'm not sure.
Man, I'm sure you've probably seen him around. Just at,
I probably
you know,
have
motorcycle events. He lives in Brooklyn.
Okay,
but and then Bobby at Indian Larry.
Yep.
He's, you know, had a standing invite out to me. He's always been very good to me.
He's great
to come out. Me and my buddy Patrick Garvin. We were going to ride FXRs out there. And we didn't end up doing it, but I thought that last year was going to be the last one. So
every year they say that. Every year it's the last
right.
one.
It's like Leonard Skinner's last tour.
Right. This is going to be the last one. Then also you start seeing flyers around now.
I've been to three of Leonard Skinner's last shows. So
I've been to Motley Crue's last show also. But that never happens.
Five times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm hoping this year. I've never been to New York at all, which is crazy because I've been a lot of other places in the world multiple times. And it's wild that I haven't been to New York. So it's on the list.
That is, that is wild. I mean, is there a reason why you haven't been here? There's not enough time.
Dude, I mean, you know, obviously I'm on the West. Like, it's a long ride out there. Most of the things that I've ridden to, and we've ridden out to the East Coast. We went down to Barber Vintage Fest, which is, I don't even remember where that's at exactly. I've been to Daytona, you know, so
right.
It's not a, I mean, I've been everywhere. I just, I don't know. I've had plans to get out to New York a handful of times and
right.
just never made it. So we'll have to make it happen this year.
Yeah. You got to come out here. I mean, again, the riding is not like the riding that you're used to in Wyoming. I can tell you that much, you know, and it's very congested here.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to want to go back to Wyoming real quick. That's all I tell you.
Hey, that's good. You know, one of the things I always say about Wyoming is it's a great place to leave and a good place to come home to. Cause
yeah, I can
you get
say,
bored.
Yeah.
You get bored out in Wyoming, you know.
Oh, really?
Huh? Bored in New York.
Well, you won't get bored in New York. I mean, it sounds like you're going to be going to Brooklyn area, which is very congested in Brooklyn where Indian Larry is. But to do some real riding in New York, you have to go upstate, or even Long Island was kind of congested too, you know?
Yeah, and I have some friends in Maine who have invited me to go stay. They have like a place on a beach somewhere up there, and they've invited me to just go stay there for maybe even a couple weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, so I might just kind of try to put all that into one operation. I think we've got to go to we got a friend who's getting married in Ohio right after our Devilstone run that's in September, and then I think after that is the block party. So maybe I'll hit all of that in one shot.
Yeah, you could do all of that. And also be part of, you know, around that time of year, there's a lot of 9/11 memorial runs. And there's a lot going on in New York, you know.
I would love to attend. I would love that.
And usually we got the Punishers, LEs, that put on an amazing run every year for 9/11. And what they've been doing the last couple of years is that they've been, you know, starting their run out, doing the whole thing, going by the World Trade Center and all that, and ending up at Indian Larry's block party for the rest of the day and the rest of their party. And Indian Larry's party, I mean, Indian Larry's party is something you definitely got to experience. You know, it's amazing how one block, it's a block party is what it is. And it's in front of his shop, and there's thousands of people at this event. Vendors, we are lucky enough that I set up there for the last 3 years. I got to set up there, and he allowed me. And you meet so many awesome people, and you're definitely in the motorcycle world at that event. And it's something you definitely got to do if you're going to come to New York. I have to tell you that much.
Yeah, well, that's why I was, you know, I'm glad that, you know, they say they do it. It's the last one every time, which I get as someone who puts on motorcycle events every year. You're like, I'm not doing this again, you know?
Right, right. I know.
And then, but then you do it.
Would you bring your brand?
You're like, we got it. What's that?
Would you bring your brand with you?
Man, so as far as the brand, you know, like our brand is interesting because for me, the brand is just living, you know, like it's, I guess what you're asking is, would we bring merch and that kind of thing? And like the whole, I don't think so. I think I would just ride out and shake hands and hang out because for me, you know, there's the business and then there's the brand. And while they are one and the same, you know, the brand is the heart of what we're doing out here. And the heart of what we're doing is, you know, trying to communicate or trying to contribute to a culture and community that inspired us to be. So I love selling stuff. You know, I love people wearing our brand. But the first thing I want people to know is what it's all about. And I think the best way that I can communicate what it's all about is by going out into the world and representing that thing. So I would love to attend, you know, as a brand ambassador and just, you know, go hang out and introduce myself and take part in the community.
Right.
And then if people want to get our stuff, you know, we've got a website for that and we can ship it to them and all that.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the brand a little bit. You got a great name, by the way. You know, go fast, don't die. I mean, that spells it out right there. So
that's it, man. And on our website, if anybody wanted to learn a little bit more about what that brand means to us, because, you know, it's a cheeky saying on the outside, but it's something a little deeper. We have if you just type into Google what don't die means to us,
Right.
Our blog will come up, and we have a little article on our sites that says that what don't die means to us. And okay. The whole idea of go fast, don't die is, you know, this idea of a fast life, this idea of a life that you've kind of found your edge and you live on it. And the don't die part is not about big death. You know, we all meet our maker in the end. That's the only one of the only things we have in common. Death and taxes. It's tax season right now, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's about small deaths, man. It's about not pulling the trigger on things that you know you're called to do, that you know you want to do, and we forfeit, we decline. You know, we spend our time, but we don't invest it. So, the don't die part is about eliminating those small deaths in our lives, and the go fast part is about just, you know, living life on the edge of your seat, saying yes to the life you're called to be
wow.
a part of.
That's awesome. So now you turn this name into a brand, and you got merch. What do you have? T-shirts? What are you? Tell everybody what you're selling.
Yep. We've got shirts and pants and decals. We sell a lot of decals. You know, people rock our decals. They're all weatherproof and all that kind of stuff. So people put them on their helmets and on their bikes and on their cars and all of that. We sell shirts. We do some custom work too. We're doing a custom jacket right now.
Nice.
But we release that stuff. You know, we're still a small company. We're a small brand, and we release that stuff in small batches because we can't afford to do anything larger. As well as, you know, it's cool to be like, hey, we have 100 of these. You know, and if you got one, you're one of the 100 people who got one.
Right.
I just always feel like that's special. It's a little more intimate. And sure. we try to keep that with our brand. You know, we want deeper relationships, not just to be bigger, but we want to be deeper and really touch people that we want to wear our brand. We want that to be a deeper thing than just a cheeky saying on a shirt. So
yeah, absolutely. So that's cool. So you got t-shirts, you got stickers, decals, hats, cuffs, you know, let's see everything that you actually have and your website where you can go find it. I want one of these.
We'll get you one, my friend. We will get you one.
I got to get one on my back of my pickup truck.
It's a cool, you know, like we have a lot of niche stuff and a lot of our stuff is, you know, if it's there today, it doesn't mean it'll be there tomorrow. So we do like a lot of handmade mugs, and that's our buddy Stefan, who's just down the road from our shop. We do some pants that we've collaborated with a company out of Japan that we met on the road. You know, we just meet people and we try to come up with projects that we could do together with them that'll just be fun. And
right.
And a lot of times that's a one-off shot. So we'll put it up on the site. We have a pretty good customer base. And then we have an email list which is where we do most of our sales and marketing. You know, people check us out on social media, but that's usually what we're up to, what we're doing. And that's more of a messaging place. As far as sales and stuff we're selling, we try to keep it off of there. We try to keep that focused on the brand, and our email is more product based. But yeah, we'll put it up there, and sometimes it'll be gone in a day and we'll never restock it. And it's cool like that.
That's a good thing. That's a good problem.
And all of our shirts, they mean something. So, you know, if you see any of one of our shirts, they'll have a saying on there or a phrase, but every one of those phrases came from an experience out in the world on a motorcycle. So there's a story behind each one of them. And
that's awesome.
We haven't done a great job at telling those stories, you know, so we had a shirt that says clock's ticking, start living, or fast is a feeling, or risk happy, or whatever it might say. And they're all different, and they all have a story behind them.
Do you want to give us a story right now on one of them?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Give us one because we can start doing a lot with these stories. You could be a guest on the show, tell a story.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing.
No, happy to. We could. Why don't you pick one? Do you got any? Have you seen any of our shirts, or is there any that stood out to you?
Let me see. Off the top of my head, I'm not so sure. I want you to pick it. You know them better.
So I've got one for you. So okay. Do you know who Jesse Combs is?
Who was that?
Jesse Combs?
Not sure, no.
So she's the fastest female to ever live. She's okay. She would set land speed records on four.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I do know her, yes. Okay.
You know Jesse. So Jesse was a friend of the brand. And when I first met her, she came to a party that we were having in Sturgis,
okay,
at a place called Camp Zero at the Buffalo Chip, her and her boyfriend and, Terry. So they came out. It was funny too, cause I showed up and I like was in party mode, you know, I was on a little mini bike and I threw rocks all over Terry's, parents' motorcycles. And he and I had a little bit of a tiff when I very first met both of them. And we're friends now and things are good. But it was just a funny start to a relationship.
I'm
inside. So everyone's invited to the stuff we're doing. We're not exclusive. We don't tell anybody. No, everyone's invited. And so at this event we were having, we had these little mini bikes. They were just causing mayhem on. And so I'm inside this barn and I'm talking to Jesse and we're talking about, I'm like, you know, what does that feel like? What does it feel like to be the fastest woman in the world? Like, what's it feel like to, you know, you get to a certain place and I don't even know what it is, 300-400 miles an hour that she's going.
Right.
And once you cross over what somebody has done, you're literally setting human history. You know, sure. No one's ever done this before. And I'm like, what does that feel like? And she's like, you know, I wish I could explain it. There's no way to explain it other than to live it. And by virtue of her being the fastest, she's the only one who's ever experienced going that fast as a woman.
Right.
And then outside in that very moment, you know, in that very like same, conversation, there's a lady outside who is on a mini bike, a little mini Coleman bike. And she is a mother of four. She's an amazing woman. You know, this is not her typical spiel. She's usually, you know, she's raising kids. She has some adopted kids and just an amazing woman, amazing mother. But for this week, and especially for my party, when she came out, she said, "Hey, Brady, I'm ready to send it. Like whatever races you got going on, whatever you got going on, I'm in, because like, this is my time to just fully let loose and I'm going for it." And so she's out there on a Coleman mini bike and we have this little ramp set up. That's only about a foot tall, but she's pinned this thing. You know, she's probably going 16, 17 miles an hour. She's about to hit this ramp and I'm scared because I see it and I'm like, don't do this. You know, like your family's going to kill me if you get hurt. But the look on her face, man, she was just so thrilled. She was so stoked and she was just having the time of her life. Just absolutely, you know, absolutely just heading towards it. And she hit the ramp and she almost crashed, but she saved it. And she's laughing so hard and she's just so happy. You can feel it. I don't know if you can feel it just chatting with me, but I can feel it when I tell that story.
Absolutely.
And so in that moment, I realized like the same feeling that Jesse has, or at least some version of that feeling that she has when she's going 400 miles an hour or whatever it is. I can't pretend to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feeling that this lady had going 16 or 17 on a Coleman mini bike towards 1 foot ramp was the same feeling. They shared that. And so that's where we came up with the shirt. It says fast is a feeling. It says speed is a number. Fast is a feeling.
Right.
You know, and that's just one example of a story where, you know, we're just living life and having these realizations about,
sure,
you know, about a worldview and about life and the way we pursue it. And yeah, every one of our shirts has a story like that and it has a takeaway. And the hope is always that people can wear our stuff and it's kind of a reminder to them.
Sure.
You know, to say like, hey, don't worry about how fast you're going. Worry about how fast you're feeling. You know, don't worry about how good someone else is. Worry about how good you feel today. So, yeah.
That is fantastic, man. And it's a great way to sell your product, to have people wear it on their shirts. You know, you come up with a great logo and you have a story with it, with the saying. I love it. I really do. You got me sold over here.
Yeah, I love it. We'll get you some stuff. You know, I just believe, my big belief is that brands set culture and culture sets behavior. So, you know, people make laws and we either agree with them and we follow them or we don't and we break them. Laws don't really set culture, in my opinion. I think culture or laws don't They don't regulate behavior. Culture does. If someone believes something about the world, they're going to follow it regardless of something, especially our crew, right? We're bikers. We're
right.
Riding motorcycles. We're not trying to listen to somebody else tell us how to do what. We're trying to live our life the way we
absolutely
feel called to do it.
And absolutely.
So I believe that, you know, there are many brands out there and each one of them gives an example. They've given an idea. That's their art. That's our, as brands, that's our contribution to our culture and our communities that we lead. And we're trying to just do something a little different or at least something positive for our community and culture.
Well, that's awesome. And you know what? I wish you the best of luck with this. It sounds like you got something really, really awesome here to work with. Yeah, you got your lifestyle alone sounds incredible. You're into so many things that you're doing. You know, your brand sounds really incredible. And you know what? Tell people where can they find? How can they buy something from you right now?
Man, if you just type into the Google machine, go fast, don't die, you will find us. We were marketers before we kind of quit that and started this brand. We still are my old business partners. We still have an agency back home. So you will find us. But you can look at gofastdon'tdie.com, any social media platform that you're on. We're probably on it, and just type Go Fast, Don't Die and you'll find us.
Excellent. So I want to thank you for coming on with us and I wish you the best of luck. And you know what? You're going to do great with this, man. You really are going to kill it out there.
Hey,
and keep going.
You,
I have a saying that I'll talk to you about off the air. All right, that I have branded, because I want to do a shirt or something. I'll let you know about what that is.
All right.
So again, thank you for coming on with us. And check out Brandy, everybody. He's amazing at what he does. Check out his brand. Go Fast, Don't Die. Make sure you go on Google it. Go buy some of his merchandise. You're going to love it. Brandy, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. My pleasure. Right. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you in September.
Oh, I hope so. You're better. So we'll see you then.
All right, brother.
We all know that safety comes first, but you don't want to look like your parents are sending you on a bike ride. Here at Micro DOT Helmets, we're focused on lightweight DOT certified helmets that protect and still look great. So you don't have to look like that mushroom from Super Mario. Ah, if you do have an accident, we'll ship you a fresh new helmet. Real lifetime warranty, only at Micro DOT Helmets, a veteran-owned business.